Matthew chapter 18. And what I'd like to do is, I kind of call this a little bit of a house cleaning, if you will. There's a few passages that I like to go through every year. And just as a good reminder, kind of recenter ourselves and our focus and resolve with the Lord. And one of them is baptism, and we talked about that last week. We did our baptismal service, planning for all of that. But the other areas I like to cover is a good reminder of this is the idea of conflict and how to resolve them. I just had an opportunity to talk to a pastor this past week, and I asked him how things are going at the church. And he goes, I told the church that things are going well. He goes, and things would be perfect if it wasn't for the people. And he had a smile on his face, and I said, I can kind of understand that. If you have a church with no one in it, you'd have hardly any problems. Right? No one showed up, save on the cleaning bill, you have to just dust once in a while. Right? That seems like an easy thing. You wouldn't have any conflicts, no one would be in your seat. I was talking to a lady. She says, yeah, she was traveling and she came to a church and wanted to go check it out. So she stepped in, walked in, sat down, and a lady poked her on the shoulder and said, excuse me, ma'am, you're in my seat. And so she kind of threw her off. So she scooted over a little bit and she goes, well, no, actually, you're in my pew. And she got to get up. And I asked, I said, did you walk off the door? She goes, well, no, I didn't do that, because that would have been my tendency. So she got up and found another pew, made sure that, I'm on anyone else's seat. Right? If you didn't have any people here, we wouldn't have any. That wouldn't be a problem we'd have. No one would ever be in your seat. I was in a church, and we were sharing, and we started to grow. We started to have some families. We started to have kids. And a lady at the back door, well, Pastor, we have a major problem in the church. I was like, well, okay, well, I'll talk to you afterwards. I'm shaking hands. And after I said, well, what's the problem? She goes, there are cookie crumbs in the back pew of the church. Yeah? She goes, we have never had cookie crumbs in the back of the church. And I was like, praise God, because you know what those cookie crumbs means? Because it means we have kids. And there's a proverb that says that where there is no oxen, the trough is clean. I said, praise God for the cookie crumbs. Amen? But if we don't have any kids, guess what? We don't have to have those problems. So we just get rid of all the people, we won't have any problems. The problem is, and we learn this even as a little child, right? Yo, here's the church. Here's the people. And what do? Open the door and see all the people. The church is the people. We have the church building. This is just a building. It's just a structure. But the church is about people. But where you have people, you have conflicts. And sometimes they're just personalities. Right? Have you ever had someone who just, if you thought about them, kind of get your blood going a little bit, right? They don't have to even do anything. It's just the mention of their name, kind of like, yeah, right? And you ask, well, why? But I don't know what it is. They just rub me wrong, right? Sometimes it's just personality. Maybe because of offense. We've talked about this many times, that we have so many people who claim to be Christians who don't go to church anywhere. And you know the number one reason I hear? They were hurt. Someone said something, someone did something that hurt them, and now they don't go. And they're like, well, I'm better off without a church. First of all, God didn't design it that way. Two, you don't know what you're missing. Because, churches are filled with idiots. Some churches, their pastors are jerks. Yeah, I understand that. But folks, there's nothing like having a church body around you to pray for you, to care for you, to love on you. And we start working these issues out. And one of the issues we start talking about here is how do I deal with someone who's sinned against me, right? What do I do when someone has done me wrong? And how do I resolve that within the church? And oftentimes what I see is people get puffed up, get mad, walk out, and then never come back. you know what? That is not the way to resolve an issue. Either they'll pack up and go somewhere else, they'll go down the church down the road. There's churches all over the place where people will go to. Right? I'll just find a church without any problems. Well, good luck with that one. You can go to a church and you don't know the problems, but sooner or later there will be problems because there are people. Right? And then it brings us back to what we started with. But how to resolve? Some people will just not go anywhere. They say, well, Pastor, I can just listen to a sermon online. You can. Actually, you can listen to this very sermon online. Right? So you go down through. But that's not taking the place of the church. Because churches are people. And we need it. We're designed for it. But how do we work these issues out? And it's so imperative for us to do this in a very biblical way. The Bible lays out. Jesus knew that, guess what? There's going to be problems in the church. So how do we do it? And Matthew 18, 15 down through 20 lays out the format for us to resolve issues. And unfortunately, in my time in the pastorate, so many people do not follow the biblical example. And what it leads is heartache and trouble along the way. One of the things we need to realize in all of this is that God wants us to what? Get along. God wants us to get along. It wasn't long ago, I was talking to a mom, and we were talking about their children, and she goes, I just wish my children liked each other. Right? I just wish they would get along. You know, I walk out of the room, and within 5 minutes, they're going at each other. And as a mom, this, you know, these are two people that you love. And they can't get along. I wish they would just all get along. And I can't help but think of how much God, our Heavenly Father, looks down on His church, on His family, on His children. And sometimes I wonder, He's like, oh, I just wish they could all just get along. They all realized how much I loved each one of them. That hopefully that love would draw them closer together to each other. God wants us to get along. John 17 actually gives us a picture of the Lord's Prayer. I know oftentimes we talk about the Lord's Prayer and a lot of people say, oh, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will, right? They say, oh, that's the Lord's Prayer. Well, that was the Lord's example prayer. The disciples had said, hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And He gave them an example of a prayer, things that our prayers can contain. John chapter 17 actually lays out a prayer of Jesus. And this is before the crucifixion. He lays out some several things. But one of them he lays out here. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their words. Guess who that's talking about? That's us. Right? I wasn't there when Jesus was here on earth. But I believe because of what the apostles wrote. So I believe on their testimony. So Jesus here is praying for me. And you too, but mostly me, no. Right? But in here, the Lord is praying for you. Do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they may be, what's that next word? One. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus' prayer before he left was that we would be one. He prays for our unity. Right? He wants us to get along. And a couple of things that come out of this. Now look at the end. That the world may believe that you sent me. One of the things that should happen is that as the world looks at us as the church, and guess what? There's a lot of people who know where this church is. You know, I talked to people, and I was just having to be at a camp up north, and I was preaching up there. And it came out, they said, oh, well, where do you pastor? I said, Stockton Springs. They're like, where's that? And I was like, all right, well, you know where Route 1 and 1A meet up? He goes, yeah. And you drive up and there's an overpass or underpass. I don't know. It depends on which way you're coming. I said, you go across there. And they're like, oh, the church that's right there. I said, yeah, that's it. Right? So, you know, talk to the people a couple hours away who come down through here. They may not know about Stockton Springs, right? But they've seen the church. They say, oh yeah, the church that's up there. And then they go on about, oh, we saw how the steeple got torn down. And people have a whole history driving by. And they tell this little story of the impact it has on them. In town, many people I've talked to have been impacted by this church. I told you a little while ago, I was talking to someone. They're like, oh, that church, yeah. That's my church up there. I didn't tell them I was a pastor. I said, oh, yeah. He goes, it's been a little while since I've been there. I said, oh, really? I said, well, how long has it been? And you're like, well, Pastor Rose was the pastor then. I said, oh, it's been a little while. Oh, well, it hasn't really been that long. I said, well, I'm the pastor there now. And they get this look on their face like, oh. But when the world turns around and looks at us, what do they see? Do we see a body of believers that loves each other? How we care for one another? And does that draw them in? Or do they see a group that's so different, so isolated that I don't want a part of that? Or is there a group of people that they can't even get along with each other? What makes me think I want to be a part of that? But Jesus' prayer for our unity, our oneness, comes in one, it's better for us all to get along. Second, it's for the benefit of the gospel's sake as the gospel goes out. Jesus puts us in important on this. That Jesus says here in Matthew, says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Look, we can't say I am a good Christian, I'm a good follower of Christ, if there's conflict and strife between us. And Jesus says, look, before you even come to church, if you will, even before you come and worship, even before you do all that, if you're on your way thinking, oh man, I have a problem against someone, He says, you know what? Go take care of that first. Go take care of that first. Don't come and pretend everything's all right. Years ago, I had a lady who wanted to join the church. And I asked her, you know, I said, oh, where have you been? And I got a history of her. She goes, oh, I used to come to the church there a long time ago. I said, well, what happened? She goes, I'll change her name. I'll say Susie. Susie said something, and I got mad, so I left the church. I said, well, Susie's still at church. I said, have you talked it out with her? She goes, no, I haven't. And you can tell she was still angry. Right? I said, well, would you like to talk to her? I can't even talk to her. I can't even look at her without her. I'm like, I said, well, how is this going to work? You coming to church? She goes, I'll sit on the other side. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, why don't you sit down and talk to her? She goes, oh, she won't want to talk. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll set it up. So I went and talked to Susie, and I said, hey, is there... And she goes, I don't even remember. I said, I don't even remember. And so I went to the other lady. Look, I said, we're going to follow up this procedure. I said, you go talk to her. You go talk to her. I said, she doesn't even remember, and she wants to make this right. She doesn't remember? This thing changed my life. And she doesn't remember. She goes, that makes it even worse. I said, look, go talk to her. Go, no, no, no. I said, well, I can't let you join the church. If you're bringing the bitterness and anger, and you're not willing to work it out, as a pastor, my job is to protect the flock, and you're bringing that bitterness in. I'm not bitter. Well, yes, you are. She's like, fine, I'll go find another church. And she left and disappeared and never resolved the issue. And I've heard the stories like this over and over and over again. God wants us to get along. He wants us to work out, not to carry these burdens around. And I felt bad. You know, Susie had no clue. But this poor lady, for, probably about 15, 20 years, was carrying around this bitterness. And she left just as angry and just as bitter as happened the other day. Jesus says, leave those things. Leave it there and take care of it. That's what it's a high regard he leaves on us working these things out. Romans tells us, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. As much as depends on you. Will we be able to work everything all out? No. But each one of us has a responsibility to do our part to work things out. Right? And I might ask forgiveness. I might give forgiveness. I may be able to do everything. I can only do what is in my court. Then after that, it's up to the other person of what they do with that. And they can choose to accept that forgiveness. They can choose to restore. But you need to realize, I can't make someone. Right? Over the years, I've heard so many times people come to me, Pastor, can you make my husband do that? No, I can't. Can you make that so-and-so? I can't make anyone. All I can do is lay out the scripture. Each person is accountable to God to do as much as depends on you. Have you done all that you can to work these things out? And do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It's not our job to get even. God will take care of those things. But as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we see this escalation that takes place. If we don't do things right, it escalates. Something very small can become very large. I can't remember the name of the church. It was north of here years ago. The church that did the issue with the churches, one resolved, they merged together, and one group poisoned the other church. You guys remember that in the news? There's actually a book called Strange Brew. They got together, and actually what it all boiled down to is the two churches were getting pretty small, and they combined together. And they were fighting over, if I remember correctly, was which communion set would they use. Would they use the one from one church or would they use it from the other? And that little issue became a point of bitterness to the point of they knew, and they told one group, they said, we're going to poison the creamer. This is no fooling. This is a true story. That's why I drink my coffee black. And so the one group knew the creamer was poisoned, the other did not. And over the course of time, they eliminated the other half of the church. And we look and shake your head like, what in the world? But let me tell you something. A little bit of bitterness creeps in. And it goes in. And God says, look, let me take care of those things. As much as you can, live peaceably with all men. Do the best that you can. And after that, give it to God. Because only He can change hearts. And so if we don't do it right, and I think that's part of the problem, is we look at this example, and as a pastor and been to churches, that I've seen this not played out correctly, and it causes a problem. That's why I like to come back once a year, kind of remind you guys. All right, this is how it should be done. Matthew chapter 18. 15 down to 20 is the passage we're going to be in. But we're going to take this step by step. And really, there's just a few steps. It shouldn't be that hard. Verse 15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. What's that next word? Alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. First thing, if there's a problem with someone, the first thing you need to do is what? Go to them. Go to them. And it sounds too easy, I think. And over the years, I've talked with people, and they, you know, come to me, pastor, right? Doesn't say go, right? If someone offends you, doesn't say go to your pastor. Go to him first. Doesn't say go to the deacons first. Doesn't say go to your neighbor first. Doesn't say go to Facebook first. Doesn't say to go on Twitter. Doesn't say all these things. The first thing you need to do is seek that person out one-on-one. Pull them aside. And say, you know, what you said hurt me, or what you did offended me. Can we work this out? Galatians says, brethren, if a man is overtaken, is any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen, if I sit down and someone has offended me or hurt me or sinned against me, I need to pull them aside and say, you know what? With all humility and with love. Because our goal isn't that I'm right. Right? My goal isn't to show that, hey, I'm right, you're wrong. My goal is not to get them twisted on the floor with my boot on their neck, having them cry uncle. That's not my goal. The goal of all this, at the end of the day, that I have gained a brother and a sister. My goal is to reconcile, that we can come to an understanding, that we can love each other. You know, it's an amazing thing. Now, this may be hard to believe in today's world. Guess what? You can disagree with someone and still love them. And that is a losing art. We see this in our politics. We see this in everything else. That if you don't agree with me 100% of the time, if you can't cross your T's and dot your I's just like I do, then you're the enemy and you're outcast, and we can't agree to disagree. That is not the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ, we are all different. The Bible talks about we're all different body parts, right? We're all different. We all function differently. You are not all like me, and I'm not all like you. And that's okay. We can have very strong disagreements in the Lord and still love each other. And for the sake of unity, come together. In our disagreements, in our differences, because I think that shows the power of Christ in us. But with a meek and mild attitude. And say, you know what? You know, what you did or what you said, it really hurt me. And I don't want this in my life. I don't want us to be on opposite sides. Can we work it out? And this will go one of two ways at this point. Either they'll turn around and say, oh, I didn't realize I did that. I'm sorry. Or like, well, this is how I feel, and maybe I shouldn't have said it like I should have said it. I still kind of feel this way, but I'm sorry if I hurt you in the process. But I can tell you over the years, and I've had some really hard conversations with people, that probably 9 times out of 10, things can stop right here. That there's an understanding. And the reason he turns around and says, look, go one-on-one, because what happens is, the more people you get involved in this point, the more feelings and hurts that you start causing. The thing gets inflated even before it gets a chance to resolve. Sung to a couple. And it's funny because they lived out of state from her parents. And she would go turn around and she'd write home and call mom, and every time that her and her husband got into a fight. And she'd call up and goes, oh, this guy's, he's a jerk, he uses me, da 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 da. Alright. Well, then she'd hang up with the phone. Well, then she would make up with her husband and things were great. Well, the next time there was a conflict, there was a strife, guess what she did? She'd pick up the phone, oh, right, da da da. Well, finally, it was over the course of a couple of years, and they had met the guy. And he said, look, I'm coming home to visit, and he's coming with me. Well, meanwhile, mom and dad are home, and they're like, this idiot jerk, what kind of guy is it that married our daughter? And they already hate the guy, right? So she showed down there, and mom and dad are just already, who's this idiot? And you know, they walk in, la 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 la, we're in love, we love each other, things are wonderful, right? And so finally, the daughter picks up there's attitude here. She can't understand why. So she turns around and talks to mom and dad and says, look, he's a really wonderful guy. And she's like, all you fed us was all the negative, negative, negative. We didn't get the whole picture. It's interesting how we can turn people's ideas. If I come to you and I start whispering, did you hear about them? Yeah. And then I work it out. I leave this whole unresolved issue, all these feelings, all out for everyone else. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And we see that deep-rooted hatred and bitterness start sinking in, not in my issue, right? Because I may work these things out. But by gossiping and being hurtful, all these things without this first recourse is causing a lot of damage. And it doesn't matter if it's the pastor. I can't tell you how many times people who don't like something the pastor did, first thing they do is they run on to the deacons or they run on to someone else. And well, they'll stick the deacons on the pastor. That's not... No, if you have a problem with me, come to me and say, Pastor, this is it. The person next to you, work it out one by one. And you'll find most of the time those things can be resolved as we look at these things. Chapter 18, the next verse says, but if he will not take, he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. This comes escalated up to the next point. If there's a sin and I come to you and I try to work it out with you and I can't. Right? If I can't work these things out. And there's a series that sometimes there's things that we just need to be able to walk away from. Not everything is a deep offense. Right? And I know that's something else if you don't look at this world today. People are so easily offended for other people. Right? And just recently, we were... I guess I was the victim of this because we had a float in the parade. And it was a China adventure and I had a picture of a China guy on there. And someone actually went to someone else and complained that we had a picture of this Chinese guy on our float that was about China. And I scratched my head like, why is someone so offended over... Right? We live in a society where we want to be offended. Actually, there's power in being offended. Right? Well, I was offended, therefore everyone has to bow to me. Right? And that's not the way the Bible talks about. As much as possible, I need to resolve things and work it out. And some things we just need to walk away from. You know what? You think this, I think that. That's okay, we'll love each other and we'll move on. Right? Not everything needs to be escalated. Hey, a lady pulled me aside and she was mad at someone else in the church. And she, you know, Pastor, I got to talk to you. Okay, what? Well, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa. Have you talked to that person first? Matthew 18. Have you talked to them? Well, no. I said, well, you need to. Well, wait, really, it's not that big of an issue. Wait a minute. It's big enough that you want to tell me, and you can't wait to tell me, but it's not big enough to go talk to them? No. If it's big enough to complain to me about, it's big enough to go talk to them about. Right? If not, then keep your mouth shut. And let grace and mercy and love fall in, right? So you ask yourself, when you get into a situation, all right, is this an offense that I can kind of say, you know what? Because love covers a multitude of sins, because I love this person, you know what? You know, my wife loves me. I'm a very flawed person. And she lets a lot of my flaws slip by because she loves me. Right? All you wives, you know what that's like, right? You marry us thinking we're perfect, then you find out we're not, and you love us anyways. To fight our flaws. Same thing with the body of Christ, right? There's some things that, you know what? I know that's what that person's like. I'm not taking personal offense to it. I'm just going to let it slide. But if I can't, then I need to work it out with that person. And if I give it that shot, pull them aside one-on-one, try to work it out, do as much as I can to work it out. If I can't do it, then the Bible says take along someone else. Two or three witnesses. I'd add in here two or three people who are not related to you. Alright? The goal, once again, is not to get your little posse together. Right? And say, okay, we're going to force these people and we're going to outnumber you because now I've gotten... Because that's how gossip kind of starts, is we spread around trying to find people who we can get on our side. And then we get that, you know, the Hatfield and McCoy situation. Right? Each group kind of pulls in and each one tries to get their group that we're right and then we're going to use that force against this other person. No, the idea here is to pull across some people, I would say, who are spiritual, who are mature, who can listen to both sides. And in here, because what happened is, if you had someone tell you, yes, 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 I'm sorry, I'll fix it, and it never happens, I have. And so by having some witnesses there, they are now, okay, yeah, this person said it, they were wrong, and then this is what they're going to do to try to rectify it. Okay, now we've all heard that. Or, if I go down through, look, this is how I was offended, this is how I took it, now they tell their side of the story, and here are two neutral people who listen to say, you know what, we see both sides, and can give an outsider's point of view, because, believe it or not, I am not always right. I know that seems shocking to many of you. But because just because I perceived something or I thought something doesn't always make it true. And so in here, by having a neutral party listen to it, who can turn around and say, you know what, Pastor, you misunderstood that, or you didn't see it that way. Or at this point, you're dealing with someone who doesn't want to work it out, then it gives you some protection. And I've had this happen several times as I've talked with people. There was a case where I sat down with a gentleman, and there was a problem in his life, and some folks in the church found out about it. And he came to me and goes, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. I said, well, why? He goes, well, I have this sin, and some people found out about it, and now I feel uncomfortable because they know. And so this is what I did. This is exactly what I told him. I said, listen, you have a choice. I said, you can leave and go to a church where no one knows. And you can hide this and pretend everything's okay and go to this other church thinking everything's all hunky-dory. Or you can stay at the church where people know and they still love you and they still accept you and you don't have to pretend to be something that you're not. I said, to me, staying seems like the better deal. So we prayed together, and he goes, yeah, okay, I agree. I left, and the phone rang. It was one of my deacons. And he's upset, and he goes, why in the world did you tell so-and-so to leave the church? I was like, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, did you just have a meeting with them? I said, yeah, I did. He goes, did you tell them, did you say the words, you could leave the church? Well, yeah, I did say that, but, and I explained exactly what I said. And he's like, oh, that's not how they portrayed it. Oh, stupid me. Matthew 18, you know what I should have done at that point? Brought someone else in on it. Who they could have heard what was said. So my words weren't able to be twisted around and used. God is so smart. Right? Isn't He? I mean, we snicker, right? I mean, it's like, oh yeah, obviously. But so many times, we do not resolve the issues God's way. So if you have a problem with someone, go one-on-one with them. Try to work the resolve out. If we can't do that, the Bible says take two or three other witnesses along with that and try to resolve it that way. Matthew 18 continues on and says, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. No, I think it's the IRS people here. But finally, if we're dealing with a serious enough sin where it needs to be resolved, and we've gone one and one and tried to work this all out, if at this point we've brought on some other people, we can't work out this sin, that, and it's still a sin that's serious enough to pursue further, this point then becomes a church issue. And he says, at this point, bring it before the church. And let them hear the issue. And if this sin is still not resolved, at this point the Bible says what we do is call it excommunicate. And what we do at that point is ask that person, you have a choice. You can repent and stay within the body here, or stay in that sin and we kick you out the door. Actually, that's kind of a loose way to put that. But in here, always, the whole goal of all this is what? Is to bring someone back to repentance. So even in church discipline, even it comes down through, the most serious thing that we can do as a church is kick someone out. The goal is always to leave that door open so that if that person repents, that they can come back. Always reconciliation. Always reconciliation. The Corinthian church had a problem. And Apostle Paul corrects them because they weren't following the scriptures. He says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So here we have a gentleman who is sleeping with his stepmother. And the church turned around and says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed, that he might be taken away from among you. What was happening in the Corinthian church, because the section of immorality was going on, everyone knew it, and they're saying, hey, what a great church we are, because we're loving and we're accepting. What a great church we are. And Paul says, no, you're allowing sin to take place. Work it out, resolve it out. And it goes on. And at the end of it says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in here, we take sin serious enough that in here we do discipline. But always leaving the door open. I talked to a lady, a teenager. I was at camp. And she was one of the counselors there. And we had an opportunity to talk. And she goes, Pastor, he goes, how long does it take to be forgiven? I was like, well, what do you mean? She goes, in our church that she was there, and she was 16 years old, and she got pregnant. And obviously that's something that can't be hidden. And the church there turned around and brought her, and it's really shameful what they did to her. They turned around and asked her, you know, if she was repented of it, and she said she was. And that wasn't enough for the church. And so they brought her up before everyone and made her confess before everyone what she had done. Well, then after that, they stripped her of all position. They stripped her of anything she could do. She was required to come, but she couldn't do anything. And I asked her, I said, how long has this been? She goes, 2 years. She goes, Pastor, she goes, everyone looks at me. She ended up losing the child. She had a miscarriage. And she goes, I can't serve my church. I can't talk to half the people in the church. And she goes, how come God can't forgive me? And I said, you know what? God has. I said, now, if I was your pastor, I said, way back, you admitted this right off the bat. You confessed this. There was no issue of going forward. You had a repentant heart. It wasn't a matter of discipline of that point. And I said, even that, discipline always has to leave the door open. Here she was, 2 years later, still reaping the judgment of her church. And it was breaking her. Folks, that's not the goal. You know, over the years, I've had people who turn around and say, well, so-and-so used to go to our church, but we got rid of them. And no, that's not the goal. Always for restoration. Always leaving that door open. And the farther as the church goes, we can excommunicate someone, but always with the idea, if you repent, you're always welcome back. And it's so imperative we do this. Matthew 18 continues, it says, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, what they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And this verse is one that's interesting, taken out of context. I've heard people say, this is, we have the power to bind demons, and bind poverty, and bind all these sicknesses. And no, the context basically says, you know what? You guys work it out. Right? As you guys work these things out on, right? If we resolve our issue that when we go to heaven, it's going to be taken, it's already taken care of. Right? Resolve it here. And anything that we can't resolve here, then they're going to face God, the judge. Right? But we have an opportunity here to take care of it. The closest I can kind of liken this is, I remember in our house, oftentimes my father worked long hours, and he'd be off, and my mom would be home, and us kids didn't always get along. We'd get into a spat, right? And then my mom would work it all out. Then my dad would come home, or my stepfather would come home and say, hey, what happened today? Well, John and Wes got into a fight in the backyard. She goes, but I took care of it. Okay, that was the end of the issue. The issue was resolved. My dad didn't come home and stirred it all up again. And all right, it was all taken care of. Within the body of Christ, as we can resolve the issues here, God sees that and it's resolved in heaven. But any issue that we don't resolve here, God, the ultimate judge, will turn around and carry that through. That's what he means at the end of this. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. This is one of those wonderful, have you ever heard this in prayer? You know, where two or three are gathered, Lord, you are in the midst. And that's such a wonderful, right? In context, what he's saying here is, you know what, Brandon, as you and I are working out this issue, it's not just you and I who are there. Guess who else is there? God. Jesus says, I am in the midst of you. So as I'm gossiping, Zach, did you hear about Brandon? It's not just the two of us. Guess else who is there? Jesus is there. This is a verse of warning that Jesus is there. He's watching how we resolve these issues. He's seeing how we're working things out. How are we doing at it? But folks, I'll tell you, as we just follow the biblical example of restoring, I'll tell you, things will just fall so much easier in place. As I said, this is my fourth church over 22 years of ministry. And I've seen more churches ripped apart, people hurt, just for a simple reason that people don't want to follow the biblical example. Really simple, folks. If there's a problem with someone, go to them. Go to them in love and work it out. If that doesn't work, then the issue still needs to be resolved. The Bible says take one or two others. Not as a posse, neutral, mature Christians who can come and listen to the issue. Then ultimately, if it's a sin of serious caliber, at that point it comes to the church for discipline. But each step of the way is to open that door for restoration. And I end with Jesus' words, that we would be one as the Father and Him are one. That's our desire. And how about you? Satan would love to mess up this body. He'd love to cause problems. I'm excited what God is doing. He's in our midst. And He's working. And He doesn't like that. And Lord, let not Satan use me to tear apart the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. It is so true. Lord, we talk about the principles of working and resolving these issues, Lord. It is so simple, and yet we make it so hard. Lord, help us follow these steps. That this church, Lord, can be one. Bind us together. Though as different as we are, Lord, we have one spirit. And that's You, Lord. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.